Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 17th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, joined right now by our Wisconsin Rapids Mayor, Matt Zacher. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you, James. Thanks for having me, as always.
Appreciate the time from you. We want to say a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, keep up to date on the great work that they are doing. Over there, you can find a cool segment that they've been doing with our mayor. You're having these, some great conversations over there and everything. Also noticed you're really good at the Q&A. That's my thing. All right. I need this job, sir. I need this job. Please do not take it from me. I know you're really good. It's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Good. I appreciate hearing that. And I'm glad that they're serving the purpose that we intend and getting the information out and just letting people get to know the chiefs that are there and that they care. They're involved in the community and they want to be a part of it. So don't hesitate to reach out and talk to the chiefs whenever you have questions or just want to get to know them better.
We begin with hearing from our listeners and talking to them over the last, I'd say, probably going back about 3 weeks, maybe shortly after your last visit with us. I know it was around there. Hearing from listeners and the feedback that I was getting, and they were asking me, like, hey, when you see the mayor, if you could bring this up, if you could ask him about this, was involving our construction. And I want to stress that out of the five, six people that I talked to, one of them a couple, there was no anger in any of this. Their tone was fine. That we were not. There was no yelling, nothing like that. What there was I think, a bit of confusion and a bit of just not understanding. Well, you know, I didn't know that this was happening. Specifically, they were talking about the construction going on here on the west side of town on some of our roads, back-to-back-to-back roads. Mm-hmm. And this kind of happened to them overnight, the way they made it sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, not trying to speak for them, but speak with them in this. That was more of the concern, was where to get this information, and was this information already presented, and they just missed it, or something along those lines. And I know how much communication means to you.
Right. No, I appreciate hearing from the people, because if we don't, if we don't hear from the folks that are in the community, we don't know. We're just kind of living. This is a whole separate topic, but the more I'm in the seat, the more I worry about being in the bubble. Whereas for 20 years, I was outside the bubble. When I say that, I mean, with all due respect to the city itself, the organization, you tend to get a siloed effect. You're not seeing the bigger picture of what's going on. And that's what people get frustrated about with government, because it's not being responsive to the people. So that being said, we decide the year before what projects are going to be on the docket for the coming year. We actually have to budget for them, and we have to figure out where that money's coming from. Some comes out of different parts of the budgets funded by different aspects of the government's budget, whether it's state, federal, our personal stuff. And so we have to have that up and running before the year even starts, so that we know we're on the right page. And then outside of that, I encourage everybody. We've just spent a ton of time revamping and doing a brand new website, and we're excited about the product. But at the same time, we need everybody to get on that website, tell their friends and family about the website, share it with your kids. WIRapids.gov now. We switched from a .org to a .gov, and that's for everybody's safety. You can't get a .gov address. Again, I'm not the tech guy, but you can't get the address without being a government organization. So they very much keep close scrutiny on that. So that helps us out. Go WIRapids.gov. We've got a great website, very communicative. You have report an issue there. If you have stuff in the city that we can take care of, you'll have the street disclosure stuff, what's going on, what programs, what construction's going on, and what that looks like, what streets are going to be closed. Also at the bottom, you'll have the ability to connect with the community and contact us, or in any other way that you can within that website. You can be able to reach out to us, or the phone numbers are there. I'm certainly happy to get phone calls too. Emily Kent is there to take on calls, and we will figure out what we need to get information back to you. But we do put all that information out for the roads there. And then we put it out on social media, all the different channels on social media, the website, like I said. We have email notifications. We need everybody to go to our website, sign up. At the bottom of the page, it says notifications. Click on there. It'll take you through a simple process to get those emails sent directly to your email address, so that you can get all this stuff as it's coming in. That's city meetings and all the different things that we put out. So, and again, if it's not working, we need to hear that from the community so we can figure out better ways, get it on, you know, the TV stations, radio station like this, newspapers and all that. So
you're mentioning the website, sir, and one of the things that I think is really important for people to do when it comes to this topic, and this is whether this affects you or not as far as information and getting the information, and if you are up to date or not. I think it's a good idea to, so a lot of us save these book, you know, web pages, we bookmark them, we put them on our tab, something like that. You might be, you know, not having the newest website. I think that's one thing to do. And as I said to these listeners, these individuals that we were talking to, we had a really good conversation that lasted a lot longer than I expected it to in a good way, was the, there when it comes to this subject, and I say this with all respect and grace as I can, there is, you know, government doing what it needs to do and making sure that every bit of information is out there in every medium possible so that individuals, no matter who they are, whether you have an email address or not, or you know what a website is or not, you can get that information. But it is also on citizens to get the information, to reach out, to pursue the information. If you're just sitting there on your couch expecting it to fall in your lap, few things in life are like that. The air you breathe, and that's about it. Like, you've got to put some effort into this. You've got to put some work into it. I don't know. These individuals I were talking to, most of them were older and some of them were around my age. I asked them, like, when in your life has information ever just fallen in your lap? Like, if you want to watch the news, you got to flip on the channel. You got to be there at a certain time. You want to read up on a website, you got to pull up the website. You got to put in some work. There is a there is meeting people halfway on this one. Our government, our local government, is working their tails off to do that. If you weren't, I'd be holding your feet to the fire about it. That's my job. When it comes to this, I don't know what more you can do necessarily as far as getting the information out there and presenting the information. We want to do better. We want to do more. I know that that's the case. But I also feel like it's, you know, the is the customer always right? Is the listener always right? Absolutely. But they also got to get in the game. You know, you got to put some effort in there too. And I don't say that just as I'm pointing the finger. Even I could do a better job of pursuing information and finding things out when I need to know information or something along those lines. I think we all could.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, and I know people differ on this philosophy of is government a business or not? And I say, okay, we understand that it's a unique business because of the model that it is. But at the same time, the residents and the businesses are the customers. And if you're not actually getting to them the information you need, you're not providing the services that you need to provide. And it's a little bit different, but ultimately they are our gauge as to if we're doing a good job. Granted, it's a little bit trickier to know because we still get to collect tax money, and that's the difference. Somebody's going to come for your house if you don't pay your property taxes. Like, you know, whereas if it's, you know, selling widgets or gadgets, you know, then it's a different story. People stop buying them, you go out of business. So it's a lot more simple in that sense. But so in that sense, I personally don't look at this as, well, I'm not trying to get into the resident's mind. Well, I mean, I guess I am to understand what they want, but I'm not going to look and say, well, it's their fault. Like, they're not getting the information. We're putting it out. We're doing what we need. In my mind, I say, then we need to be better. If it's not working, we need to figure out why, and we need to do better with it. So I come from that philosophy, and I think we have work to do yet, but we're working on it.
WIRapids.gov is that website the mayor was referring to. Make sure to bookmark that, everybody, and rebookmark it if you haven't in the past or something. And we'll mention that again before we wrap up. Speaking on the things going on in town here, wanted to get in the mill update, see how things are going over there.
Yeah, I jumped in pretty hard last month. I kind of have a circuit that I go through between you guys and some of the TV channels and other podcasts and all that. And I really did dive in because I got some feedback that people didn't know what was happening at the mill, which surprised me a little bit because I'm very open. What I can talk about, I want to get out there as much as possible. So for the most part, the biggest thing going on there is, outside of all the things that are happening behind the scenes that you got to sign NDAs for and you can't talk about just because you don't want to make anybody angry at you. I appreciate the fact that they let us be involved in the conversation. They don't have to do that. But the mill itself being taken down by MRD is continuing. Everybody's seeing, hopefully, at WRCM puts out a lot of the videos. I actually went to MRD, again, Jerry, Jerry's his name. His last name's eluding me at the moment, but he is really good at this business, and he's really concerned about how they're doing in this community. Well, in any community, really, and how they do now. I mean, imagine this is the biggest project they've ever taken on. So it sky's the limit from here, because there's only other times that they're going to have to be doing this. Anyways, I went to him and said, can we videotape some of the stuff that's going on so we can share it with the residents? In the end, he took it a step further, and it was going to be easier than us trying to be there at the moment that they then started videoing this stuff so they could put it on their social media, and then they send it to us and we connect with it, and we're able to piggyback off that and get it out to everybody. And it's just amazing footage, because they can be exactly where they need to be in order to make great demolition shows out of it. So greatly appreciated. They're making great headway. Again, always sad that this is going away, but it's also great that it's not going to just sit there and wither away in front of our eyes and never going to be able to be fired back up again. So it had to go away, and it'll open up that land. And I think it's going to be a great move in the long run. And there's people that are, you know, talking to the people that have the power to help them get in there. So set up, it's manufacturing is what we're shooting for. Probably going to be some database stuff and go from there. So great things ahead in the future.
Sounds like you might have given them a good idea there. The filming it themselves and everything. That's really cool. You're right. They could probably get an angle and do more there than they others could. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a golf outing. It's not a city sanctioned thing, but it's a lot of the city people are involved, and then people come in, and I got to meet a lot of the guys from MRD that I haven't met, and very proud of what they're doing and very happy to be able to do that. And you're right, then they get to show it to other people and use it as marketing for future projects. So,
you know, and with this building, and all buildings have some memories to them and some care to them, every house, every building, this one being a little bit different, and you noted that, I think being able to share that stuff is all the more important and all the more great. And the archival footage that will be to be able to show you other generations and everything. It's a very cool part of our history around here.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Wanted to talk a little city budget with you. I know that you guys had some recent meetings and everything about that, and wanted to see how that's going. How are we looking?
Yeah, I wanted to really.
Do you need me to go to Atlantic City? Or it's our budget? Because I'm on a run right now. I'm
talking about it. Well, I say this is the time that it's the most, probably the most tricky or stressful, because we just got done meeting in July, and it takes a while for July, August, you get through all the departments and let them say, you know, what their plan is for 2026, kind of see where that money comes in. We really started right at the beginning of the year saying we need to keep up on the 2025 budget so we know what it's going to look like in 2026 and start talking about that as soon as possible. So everybody brings their budget to the table. Tim DeSorcy, the finance director, he then compiles everything, and he brings together right now all the money that should be coming in or what we can count on and whatnot, and be able to put together that snapshot on the front end. And then that's when the tough work starts. That's where you have to start saying, we can't do this, we can't do that. We can try to work on this. Can we move this over here to cover for that? We lost the transportation utility a year ago. Mm-hmm. We were able to cover some of that expense through WWLC and wastewater and the sewer utility. But then because that the transportation utility is gone, there are some mill and overlay projects that were there that they're helping fund, and now that money will be gone, so we have to work on that. Of course, all the wages are going up, and all the benefits that come along with that are going to be going up. So it's really a never-ending battle. Not to say, you know, I'm not afraid of the challenge. Neither is Tim. Neither are the department heads. It is what it is. I mean, you're not going to take out debt in order to fund operations. So once you get to that point, you got to make tough calls. That's what it's all about. So
some of the more important work being done is when it comes to our budget and the time and effort that's put into it. Mm-hmm. It's good to hear. And certainly we'll keep you up to date on that. When we talk next month, maybe we'll rehash and go over it again. We'll see.
Yeah.
Also wanted to ask you about the EMS and kind of an overview of that.
Yeah, so we've been, for the last year, probably since I got started, it's been a conversation. The problems everybody's facing in the country, my assumption is probably the world, but I don't know anything outside the country, is that we're facing this baby boomer generation that is just so big, and they're all at a certain age where they need the help. And It's partially just the amount of people, but it's partially that 911 has become more of a like a daily care more type thing instead of going to the hospital or to go to see their doctor. A lot of times we're calling 911 for basic services, and people, if we go to their house, we have to provide the services. We don't have to give them a ride to the hospital. If they don't want to go to the hospital, then we don't get any money for Medicare or Medicaid. So then it's just a call that was spent. In the end, Wisconsin Rapids has an amazing fire department and an EMS department, and we pay decent money for that. Like, that's part of our taxes. We all pay for it. So right now they're providing the services. The problem is the amount of calls versus the amount of employees is a little bit out of whack right now. And then, so then the questions come in as to, and again, this is tricky because we want to be good neighbors. We want to be good stewards of our resources and help our neighbors. But at the same time, if 20% of our call volume, 20 to 25% is outlying community contracts, well now, and they're paying a lot less money for the same services that Wisconsin Rapids citizens are paying. You have to be able to have that conversation openly, transparently, and honestly, and say, okay, fair is fair. Right now, the contracts are hovering around $26 a head per capita, which means everybody's paying $26 a year. A year, just kind of coming to that realization for these amazing services. Two paramedics, a rigged out, you know, an ambulance that has everything in it. They have the ability. They're like moving doctor clinics, basically. That's what they're qualified for. So it's amazing, and we should recognize that. So then the question is, we understand we could help the outlying communities, and we are doing it right now. But if the costs are realistically looked at, you know, we're paying somewhere in the ballpark of $126 per head versus $26 a head. So where is the happy medium in there? And again, we can only go so high before they say, well, we're just going to go somewhere else. And we understand that. And maybe that's the way to do it. The problem is we already started the contracts. So now we kind of rely on that money that's coming in order to cover the employees and stuff like that. So it really is, last night we got a clear direction from the council, which is what I needed, so that myself and Chief Goudreau can go to the communities and talk about what the reality is, you know, hope that they understand we're coming with the best intentions to have a conversation and what that looks like, and lay out some different options on the table to really negotiate where we should be and where we could be, or say we don't want to, you know, it's too much and we don't want to go with these services anymore. We understand that too. If we got to rip the Band-Aid off, you know, better sooner than later, in my opinion, because it's only going to become more impactful until the call volume starts to come down again. But we don't really know when that's going to be. So we have to prepare for the next 10 years at least.
There's so many layers to a topic like this. You mentioned early on in it, you know, our area has a little bit higher of a senior population than some. So certainly, you know, the work of our EMT, our ambulances out there, all of this is understandable. It might be see a higher rate with that or something, or not in pay, I mean, but in the call volume and in some of those things. And then when it comes to rural areas, in many of us that have lived in some of those spots you're talking about and everything, certainly, you know, hope and pay taxes for services and that. So, you know, figuring those things out. One of the things that I think is a positive about this to me, and maybe it's nothing but a positive, is so much of this was kind of, we kind of inherited, you know, a lot of this thing. And this isn't pointing fingers at a generation or anything. It's just like kind of the way things work. We see this with our schools oftentimes. You know, there used to be a whole lot more schools around. Well, we don't need as many. You know, we know, and it's not to say that those schools aren't important. Right. Those kids got to go somewhere, but it turns out, well, we could actually just send them to this school that is like two blocks away, you know, and working on those things. Where in the, by doing that, while we hate to see any school go away, those teachers, those employees are able to go into the workforce here or in other places and make those schools that are around now stronger.
Right.
This is an opportunity for us to make this a stronger thing in our communities.
Right.
That maybe even call times lesser than, you know, when they're showing up, all these, you know, the added layers to this that will we get this figured out and get the right solution for everybody.
Yeah, that's it's what you're saying is it's a lot. And I'm realizing I appreciate the fact is, you know, again, as soon as I got into the seat, I went out to the surrounding businesses, nonprofits, anybody that's connected to, you know, in my mind, it was entrepreneurialism. It still is. But then you realize you know, the school system plays a role in this. MST plays a role. UWSP plays a role in this. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce, and really what is like all the unforeseen things that you're planning for that may or may not happen because there's so many things happening at one time, but nothing is for sure until it just keeps going, kind of like the mill. It didn't start out the way it looks now. It started out in one room with one machine with a handful of people, you know. So then people come and ask, like, should we do this as an organization? Because we don't necessarily know what's coming. So let's just take the schools, for example, like you said. If there's talk, which, again, it's not for sure, it's just a conversation, do we try to consolidate in order to put money into this instead of put money into that? Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, if we have an influx of jobs that happen because we have an industrial park with a ton of power, mm-hmm. Which could happen, then all of a sudden we have this influx of people who can move to the area, going to MSTC, because MSTC is great at saying, you need these specific skill sets. We can start these programs like immediately and get these guys up and running. They're great. UWSP is the same way. Yeah, there's just so many factors to it. The housing plays a huge role in this, the communication amongst everybody. So yeah, it's awesome to be a part of it. And it certainly opens my eyes to the bigger picture. I definitely complain a lot less about, you know, governmental organizations at this point. But at the same time, we got to stay focused too, because, you know, they serve a specific need for the community. We got to make sure we're accomplishing those.
Hearing you break that down just now, and I really do appreciate, one of the things that I think I thought of right away, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, our listeners out there probably did too, is that the kind of theme of this conversation today in communication. And hearing whether it's you talking to the community, your team talking to the community, or the community talking to you, being open with each other, having open conversation, treating each other with respect, and sharing information is how mm-hmm. we get to a better community, a better city. I would say that, and this is not about, you know, one is better than the other. I don't mean it that way. Yep. But having lived in so many communities in my life, what I'm seeing happening here is very new to me, and I have not seen before. And I have not seen a portion of our government working so hard to reach out to the community, working so hard to communicate with the community. Mm. So not only is that appreciated, but I know the community, I appreciate this community coming out and talking as well and speaking up. Yeah. We got plenty of people out there that'll sit on their couch and bark at the TV or bark at the radio never get off the couch.
Right.
I appreciate this community is filled with people that are willing to speak up, willing to be heard, because that's how we make good, you know, the community that much stronger and that much better.
Yeah. Yeah, again, we've done a lot of work with the website for that, but I'm always open to conversations. My email's on the website. My direct cell phone number is 715-315-2925. Call me directly. I also go to I'm not going to know the dates offhand, but the coffee talk with the mayor at the Centralia Center. I do that once a month. It's we try to advertise that throughout. Mm-hmm. That's a place you can come and talk one-on-one with me. It's an hour. Usually I'll tell people when it's a bigger conversation, let's get together and talk about it more in depth, because you need more time to vet it out. So, but at the same time, don't hesitate to reach out and, have the conversation. At least, if nothing else, you learn the answers to a lot of your questions, so you don't mm-hmm. feel like you're not in the know of what's happening. So.
Appreciate the time as always, sir, and looking forward to talking again next month.
Yep. Thanks for what you do, James. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. We appreciate the work they're doing. Again, go to YouTube, subscribe to their page by typing in wisconsinrapidscommunitymedia.com, and be sure to keep up to date on what they're doing. And that website we've mentioned a number of times, wirapids.gov, wirapids.gov. We'll be back with more Rapids Report here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.